Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the bastion of free speech that has been here throughout the entire hoax year. This hoax year, it's supposedly 2020. I don't believe a word of it. I don't think it has been 2020. I think it's been some other year, and that's all part of the hoax. But regardless, we have been broadcasting real information, whether it's on the phony systemic racism, whether it's on the phony global pandemic, whether it's on this phony election. We have been a voice of truth in a sea of lies, and you want it to survive. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation, because there's no guarantee. They are going after everybody. They would love to go after RBN, but John Stadtmiller has put together his own network, so he's not dependent on Facebook or Google or YouTube, but that's not a guarantee forever. So keep this going. Go to nationalbugle.com. You can download the Co-Certified app, because you want to know what this kosher certification is all about. And, you know, we've got kosher certification of food. We've got kosher certification of all sorts of things. We've got kosher certification of vaccines, the coronavirus vaccine. I'm sure that's kosher certified. We've got kosher certification of our politicians, of our society, of our election. And we're not going to put up with it. And you want to be able to see through kosher certification. It all starts with Co-Certified. So download that app from nationalbugle.com. And while you're there, you will see all of the articles that Mark Dankoff and myself put up. And we're going to be talking about articles that are up there now, that will be up there soon. The most important thing is this election, because the fate of the Republic rests on it. But there's a lot of peripheral issues, a lot of related issues that need discussion. So welcome to the show, Mark. Hello? Mute button?
I am here. One of the things I've been trying to do in all of this, as I have voluntarily left Twitter, just as I had previously voluntarily left Facebook, I'm working with the Russian V Kontakte right now. And that's been a pretty good situation, of course, because in this particular case, there are all kinds of things that have been happening with censorship that everybody's aware of who's been listening to this radio station and has been listening to it for a long time. But they've upped the ante, obviously, with everything in 2020. And so when one starts to look for alternatives in terms of social media, I've been on Russian VK for quite some period of time. You will find me there at Mark Dankoff, of course. I think more American nationalists need to be involved with that particular network, because there's a level of freedom of speech on there that is not found any longer, in any sense of the word, with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Google and all the rest of them. And there's a pretty lengthy situation that you can get into there in regard to what you can post as far as length, both in terms of the length of things that you comment on with specific numbers of words. And the other thing, photos. They have a much better policy with photos than does Twitter in terms of the amount that you can post. And last but not least, when it comes to like show descriptions, such as we have here, you've got a situation where I was able to use VK today to come up with a show description that involved a lot of the individual posts that we'll probably be discussing in particular after the break.
Right. And I'm looking at your VK post, so there's an awful lot you can do with it. All right. Well, first of all, if we get breaking news on the election, we'll report it. Otherwise, stay tuned for the Mike Rivero's show, What Really Happened, in a couple of hours, because that's become the best daily roundup on radio of news. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. We know that the case brought by Texas, the Texas Attorney General, with about 19 other states, I think Alaska's the latest one to join in, as well as the assembly, the General Assembly of Pennsylvania, and I believe President Trump have joined in on this as well. So there's this case, it's on the docket in the Supreme Court, but we're kind of, it's kind of radio silence from the Supreme Court right now. So is this the eye of the hurricane or the calm before the storm? Because this is a very, very strong case. What are your feelings on this case? And by the way, God bless Texas for bringing this case.
Yeah, I think that that's right. And if one looks at what I have said on this with Sputnik International, it's very clear, of course, that I'm on the record there as saying that there is overt evidence of fraud, despite what CNN and company continue to insist. And when you look at this case in regard to these major voting machine consortiums, and when you start looking at the connections that those consortiums have with very significant bad guys, including George Soros, there is a piece on LifeSite News today about how Soros is just named as the head of his Open Society Foundation, an individual who is the head of one of these voting machine consortiums. That, I think, is a very, very significant development. When you look at the overall situation in terms of voter fraud and voter algorithms, it's very apparent to me that a fake spin on COVID-19 wound its way into this massive mail-in ballot scheme, which was concocted by states who I think greatly overstated the risk to individual mm-hmm. people, especially under the age of 65 and voting mm-hmm. in person. And mm-hmm. then last but not least, that seemed to dovetail with the voting machine situation where the difference between Tuesday night and Wednesday morning in regard to results in key battleground states obviously seems to be pretty much queued up with a voting machine algorithm that basically indicated how many votes had to be stolen in order to ensure that Biden would be the winner. And then lo and behold, that seemed to be the precise number of mail-in ballots that were dumped into the system in the wee hours of Wednesday morning to make sure that the result was a completely different one from the one that everyone seemed to feel was in the process of transpiring the night before. But there are a number of very, very important posts, some of which we, I think, have up on our show post mm-hmm. today, including that we'll get into the specifics of this.
Okay. And so I don't want to go deep into the Dominion voting machines. There's so many aspects of this fraud. It is one, and the, I guess the basics is that the Dominion voting machines provided the fraudsters real-time information about the votes and allowed for real-time, fractional redistribution of votes away from Trump and towards Biden in such exactly. a way as that Biden would come out with a victory. So that's the basic theory behind Dominion. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, and I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name who posted this for the UNS Review in regard to this whole business of Dominion voting systems. But it's a very, very compelling case that he makes. And I'm trying to remember his first name is Brett. I'm trying to remember he has a middle and a last name. First name Brett, but you'll find it at the UNS Review. I don't have it right in front of me at this particular point. But it goes into all of the specifics of what was involved with these algorithms and with this reallocation of votes in terms of percentages. And even aside from some of these high tech things that not all of us readily grasp, it's really clear to me that something is going on when, as a judicial report or judicial watch so indicated, you had several thousand counties in the United States, and I don't remember how many specific states, where you had more votes than there were registered voters. We've had sworn affidavits from U.S. postal worker employees that they were ordered to backdate mail in ballots mm-hmm. that arrived mm-hmm. after the deadline. And then, of course, it's convenient that in all of these areas where this situation transpired, this unheard-of situation between election night and, say, 8 o'clock the next morning, that this situation revolved around Philadelphia in particular, in the state of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Detroit and Wayne County in Michigan, and other places like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. where you had a specific connection to a Democratic voting machine, which presumably had this entire thing well under control mm-hmm. in terms of what is
and a Democratic voting apparatus, like a voting officialdom. Right.
Exactly, to where legitimate observance of what was going on was being denied to people who were not in the Democratic Party, who had been appointed as poll watchers and things
right.
of this type.
And while there are a few counties that are that have large universities or basically college towns, which are problematic, the vast bulk of this kind of the denial of observation rights to Republicans, the vast bulk of this, in terms of the votes that were cast, occurred in large black areas, large black cities. So Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta. And of course, the issue here is you've got at the precinct level, you've got precincts that are, you know, they're in black neighborhoods that are entirely black. And for a white Republican poll watcher to go in there, there's all sorts of intimidation and hostility. But then not just at the precinct level, but at this canvassing level, because these cities are, you know, they're Democratic and often black run. You had, for instance, in Atlanta, all the election workers except for four scooted out of the building, told they had to leave the building, and then of course we've got the video evidence that they pulled out these suitcases. So if you've got that type of thing, but even, and you know, you've got all these affidavits, plus you've got video and other evidence that corroborates it, but even without that, you have absolutely undeniably constitutional violations in changing voting rules through executive fiat or through settlements between courts and third parties, which is unconstitutional because it has to be done through the legislature.
Exactly, and I think that is the substance of Ken Paxton's argument, the Texas Attorney General's argument in regard to putting this lawsuit forward. And it's a very compelling argument, and I think that's why you have states lining up on both sides of this issue. And to me, as you watch the whole thing unfold, it's very, very clear that you have at this point not simply a division between Trump and Biden voters going on here. That's almost beside the point. It's a division in this country between people who either believe or want to believe that this election was legitimate and those who believe that it was absolutely fraudulent. And two things that I'd point out on this. One, of course, as I was discussing with Sputnik International in an interview that came out just in recent days with Ekaterina Blinova of Sputnik, look at Georgia. This was the focus of what Sputnik wanted to talk about, these two U.S. Senate runoff races on the 5th of January in Georgia. That is going to determine who ultimately controls the United States Senate in 2021. And in this particular case, it is quite obvious that the level of turnout in the African-American community in the urban areas is going to be a major factor in who whether or not the Democrats can offset an overwhelmingly Republican vote outside of places like Atlanta. But then you get back to the same issues in Georgia that we saw during the presidential election itself. The voting machines, mail-in ballots. Questions about poll watchers. All of these different things are about to creep into this thing, not simply in terms of who was legitimately elected as the next president of the United States, but we could run into a legitimacy question in regard to who controls the U.S. Senate based upon what is going to transpire in Georgia on the 5th of January. I believe that Sputnik International conversation with me is up there in our show description with links at VContacta, which we've also put on our big board at nationalbugle.com. But people need to watch this very, very closely. This involves not simply a strong possibility of fraud in terms of a presidential election, that's bad enough. But in this particular case, we might be looking, could be looking at a question of fraud in regard to what happens in Georgia in these U.S. Senate runoff races in the January.
We certainly could. We certainly could. So I've been going into all sorts of like technical issues about, you know, what could happen with the process of selecting the next president. And people know this is the first time you've been on the show since the election. But since the election, since like the day after the election, I've been talking about the necessity for state legislatures to appoint electors because of the fraud and because constitutionally they are allowed to. And that has been dubbed the Slattery Plan. But so I'm just letting you know that. But there's all of this little minutia that could play out. Here's one thing. So you might be aware that in Iowa, one of the congressional races was, at least according to the voting machines, virtually a dead heat. And so I think the Republican, after the first count, the Republican might have been up by 100 votes or so, very, very thin margin. And then after the recount, the Republican was up by 6 votes. And the Democrat, they're both women, the Democrat, rather than challenging it in Iowa courts where she probably would have lost, she is going to the House of Representatives, and there is a disputed election act whereby the House of Representatives, and it's been used once in the past, the House of Representatives can look and decide who they think won the election. There will be a committee hearing, and then if it passes through the committee, then the full House gets to vote, and a simple majority could overturn the Republican who won the seat and install the Democrat who lost by 6 votes. Now this could happen. There was a McCloskey. It wasn't the McCloskey from New Mexico who challenged Richard Nixon, but it might be a relative. There was a McCloskey who I think had won in Illinois, and then he was his seat was taken away, or something like that. That happened, I think, in the 1982 election. So it's happened before. Why is that significant? Well, right now, if either this woman, the Republican, is seated, then there's a 3-1 Republican majority in the Iowa delegation. If nobody is seated, there's a 2-1 majority in the Iowa delegation. If the Democrats eventually seated, then there's a split in the Iowa delegation. Well, if there's a split in the Iowa delegation and the presidential election winds up going to the House of Representatives, then the Republicans would only have 26 votes. There would be, and you need 26. Well, that's fine, except one of those votes would be Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney all by herself controls the Wyoming vote because there's only one congressperson from Wyoming, one representative, and she's not dependable. And without 26, then you got a deadlock. So we're up on the break. We can talk about that if you want, or other things on the other side.
Very good.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back to the show. National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And so, Mark, we always, you know, oh, by the way, with the passing of the late and great Adrian Krieg, the Monday Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show, which had been Generations, is now the Mark Dankoff Report?
Yes, and what we're doing is we're presently running that on Tuesdays. Okay. So at least for right now, we tend to reserve Monday for taping. We've been going with Tuesday mornings for right now in terms of when it airs on Rents and on Eurofolk Radio. So Tuesday morning is the broadcast time now, of course, with accessibility through archive thereafter. And we'll just see how that plays in terms of time segment. But losing Adrian Krieg, of course, was a great blow to a lot of us. And it's just another indication of how time passes. And really, as I look over the course of these last 19, 20 years since I've been, you know, really, really heavily involved in this, and we've had some real giants pass from the scene. I mean, you start thinking of Michael Collins Piper, and you start thinking of Pastor Dale Crowley being another one. These other names that keep coming up, people like Eustace Mullins and Willis Carto, and certainly Adrian Krieg is a major, major loss to the American nationalist and American truth community. So it we're all rebounding from that one, in addition to this fraudulent election that we're still trying to deal with. So, but we press ahead.
And we'll deal with it, and we will prevail. I am still, I won't say I'm convinced, but I am confident.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it will make for a situation, even if we don't, in the Supreme Court, with all of the evidence that, to me, underscores fraud. Even if the Supreme Court decides to back off of this, I think there is a level of delegitimization of this election that in the long run serves our movement well, because the whole thing with Joe Biden and all the circumstances surrounding his elevation to the presidency are so absolutely preposterous. That as time wears on, I think this favors us in terms of a delegitimization of globalist government that hopefully will bring a nationalist perspective into stronger focus. And I think Pat Buchanan seems to be leaning that way in this analysis. I tend to agree with that.
Okay, and so you've got, as usual, a number of articles that people would want to look into.
Yeah, I've got these on VContacta, and that VContacta link is on our own nationalbugle.com link. Let me fly through these. In terms of my own involvements since the election, this is my first stint with Patrick since that time, of course, I've really emphasized three things. We just passed the 79th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. It is the primer for Zio War to come. My speech to the American Free Press in 2013 has been repristinated again. Mohammad Mazari of the Tehran Times interviewed me on December 8th, which was just 3 days ago, talking about this business of Joe Biden and the possibility of coming changes in American foreign policy. Tehran Times has published that. We have the link up. But I also, in the VContacta discussion of this, put up the complete discussion in the original interview with all of the accompanying links that people need to examine very closely. Medea Benjamin's link on the real Obama-Clinton-Biden foreign policy, America dropping 26,171 bombs in 2016. Phil Giraldi's Tony Blinken replaces Mike Pompeo. Israel's friends will enjoy four more years in power is up there at the UNS Review. My own commentary on the Soleimani assassination plays into my discussion with Tehran, the Tehran Times, in regard to the more recent Fakhrizadeh assassination. And as we continue to read through this, I provided a lot of links to the Tehran Times that didn't make it into their version of what they posted, which is fine. It's still a good interview. But I took the opportunity, since VContacta allows me to do it, and put in the original text of the interview with all of these additional links that I mentioned to Tehran. Michael Chasadovsky and Israel Shahak for Global Research, entitled Greater Israel, the Zionist Plan for the Middle East. That gets into the Oded Yanon plan, of course, we've discussed here from time to time. And then I go into a series of things with the Tehran Times in regard to all of these crimes that the Israelis have committed against the United States over the course of years since the Zionist state, the modern Zionist state, was established. Many of us are familiar with these things, like the Levant Affair, the Ben-Gurion Meyer-Lansky link to the Kennedy assassination, USS Liberty, NUMEC nuclear thefts, Promise Affair, Pollard spy case, the Israeli link to 9/11, and so forth and so on. I added this post, Lawrence Guyano's original, Did Israel Kill the Kennedys, at the UNS Review, is now accompanied by a post this past week where there's apparently been some sort of a film presentation that has developed based upon that original article I just mentioned, and it's entitled Remember the Kennedys. So I've given that to Tehran Times. And as we continue going through the text of that, which is available to you in its entirety at the VK link, we get into Phil Giraldi's Another Killing in Iran, Who Profits by the Fakhrizadeh Assassination.
And we'll get into that after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to the show. So that is Radio Pyongyang. That is some North Korean opera from Radio Pyongyang. And, you know, I noticed it before, but you can just smell the freedom. I guess it's kind of a relative thing. Maybe
yes.
Like relatively to here, it didn't seem so different. But now I smell the freedom relative to us, at least. I mean, because you can breathe over here. We can't breathe here.
Yeah. Boy, and that's sadly, if Biden is ultimately in the White House on the 20th of January, get ready, folks. We've got to oppose this guy's agenda and that of Ms. Harris and that of the Marxist wing of the Democratic Party and the social issues, and not to mention the globalist people trying to run the economy and profit by it on a globalist basis, up to and including this COVID-19 vaccine thing. Of which there's a lot of stuff out there.
Harris is going to make sure none of us can breathe in retaliation for our racism killing George Floyd.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so here we are back through the news summary. I had mentioned Pearl Harbor. As one emphasis for today's show, click the link at nationalbeagle.com to the VK description of this show and look at my comments on Pearl Harbor 79 years later. That impacted my own family big time, by the way. I had an uncle who was a Pearl Harbor survivor. It changed my parents' lives, certainly. Mm-hmm. On the 8th of December, the following day, when my dad went into the Army Air Corps.
In retrospect, were we on the right side?
You want to be honest? No, we weren't. That's my own take, and I think John Koster's book, Operation Snow, gets into verifiable details as to what was really behind Pearl Harbor and how it was all designed, the McCollum Memorandum was, to make sure that we came into this conflict on the same side as Joseph Stalin. More on that later, but yeah, you've asked. I want to be candid with people. I think we really screwed things up in regard to everything that happened then and in regard to everything that has happened since. And I believe Charles Lindbergh's perspective on this will be absolutely vindicated as time goes on. And if you get into the VK link to this show and look at the link to Matters Pearl Harbor that I put on VK, there are all kinds of really fine pictures there, including a picture of Lindbergh and his speech in Des Moines, Iowa in September of 1941, as well as the book Lindbergh and Roosevelt, The Rivalry That Changed America. That is a critical book. That's a Regnery publication book. Take a look at that one.
Well, you know, something? People of our generation would brag about their dads in World War II. And my dad did not run down and volunteer on December 8th. He either got drafted or he enlisted just because he knew he was going to get drafted. So he didn't rush down. When he did enlist or get drafted, he volunteered for the China-India-Burma Theater, I think is what it was called, which was dangerous.
Yes.
But he didn't get sent. He wound up staying stateside, and he was a gifted linguist, and he was already good at Italian and German, and they taught him Japanese, and he just translated.
Yes.
So that's what he did. But
You know, God bless him, and certainly when we look at this whole thing, and I think in a roundabout way I was trying to make this point with the Tehran Times, the Pearl Harbor situation, folks, and the American people's failure to listen to what it was that Charles Lindbergh was trying to explain to them. Pearl Harbor is a microcosm of what I believe has been brewing for a long time in regard to an impending American-Israeli attack on Iran. That was the purpose of my presentation to the American Free Press in 2013 and to the Habilian Association of Iran that same year. So that's why that one's up there in the show description. We have mentioned already, of course, this whole business of election fraud, and that dovetails with what I've already referred to as my interview with Ekaterina Blinova, Sputnik International. Georgia Senate runoffs outcome critical to GOP strategy of stymieing Biden's agenda. You can see the Sputnik post. You can see the complete text on my website, and that is also posted in the show description.
Hey, I have a question for you. Sorry to interrupt. There are those who say that they don't care about the Georgia Senate runoffs. And so my question is, if these two Senate candidates, or their current incumbents, actually, Perdue and Loeffler, if they're not fighting for Trump, should people vote for them? It's a question. It's a legitimate question.
Well, I mean, I think people can honestly disagree on that and come down on different sides. I personally believe that I would vote for them in Georgia simply because I think it's absolutely critical that we get as much opposition to the Biden-Harris agenda as we can possibly get. And numerical control of the U.S. Senate, even if it's by one vote on the part of the Republican Party, is, I think, a laudable goal, even with the weaknesses of these incumbents in Georgia from our own ideological perspective.
Yeah.
Because if the Democrats get control of the Senate and they already control the House, that control of the U.S. Senate by one vote could produce some absolutely horrible things that actually make it through the legislative process, courtesy of Biden and Harris. So,
I think you're absolutely correct. I think the process of punishing the Republicans, which needs to happen, should happen regardless of who winds up in the White House. It should happen in January 21st.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's see here. Run through a few of these so-called bonus stories as quickly as possible. Germany connects Jews with Corona by Israel Shamir for the UNS Review. Phil Giraldi has one for the UNS Review entitled The Maxwells, Mossad's First Family of Spies, Who Was Running Whom in the Epstein Espionage Ring.
Who's Epstein? Who's Maxwell?
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the diversionary efforts, of course, of mainstream media, who have had an overtime agenda in trying to get us to forget Jeffrey Epstein and the obvious Israeli connection. Peter Dale Scott has one up that I think is absolutely essential reading. He has co-authored this with Aaron Good for Covert Action Magazine. His entitled was The Now Forgotten Murder of One Man on September the 9th, 2001, a crucial precondition for 9/11. Ahmed Shah Massoud, remember him in Afghanistan? This story deals with that and why it was, Peter Dale Scott and Aaron Good believe, that he was assassinated on the 9th of September as a prelude to what happened on the 11th, 2 days later, and that it was all planned. Take a look at that story. The Saker and the Unce Review, NATO and the EU are sending a message to Russia again. RT has one that we've already kind of hit on in regard to what Dr. Slattery has mentioned to us today. Battle lines are being drawn as 44 U.S. states pick sides in Texas-led Supreme Court election showdown. That's at RT with a link. Afghanistan
and
today.
And, Mark, how do you think that's going to play out?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, you would think if it does make it to the Supreme Court, that would be the ultimate test, wouldn't it, of this supposed 6-3 ideological advantage for the Republicans in the U.S. Supreme Court after Amy's successful confirmation. Mm-hmm. But a Republican nominee or series of nominees on the Supreme Court over time throughout history has been far short of what any of us would have hoped, going all the way back to the Earl Warren nomination by Ike Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at this whole thing, there might be people out there who would be of the persuasion that if this whole suit does make it to the Supreme Court of the United States.
It is being heard.
Yes, if it's being heard, then it will be a most fascinating showdown, because if it goes, depending on how that goes, is not simply a question of whether or not the legitimacy of this election or its illegitimacy is going to be ruled on, but it also will be a verdict on how significant and how trustworthy these Republican appointees to the Supreme Court are going to prove to be. So there's a lot riding on this.
And here's the thing. So we expect Sotomayor and Kagan and Breyer to act as partisan hacks. Maybe they won't, but I would expect them to. The other six don't have to be partisan hacks, because the facts in the case are on their side. All they have to do is judge fairly. That's all they have to do.
Yeah, that's right. And so we will see. But you're asking the $64,000 question. There's no question about it. Here's a foreign policy one: Afghanistan. Any real advocate for ending the war should vote against this monstrosity, Rand Paul says on the floor of the Senate yesterday, and that is reproduced for us at Responsible Statecraft. We noticed at antiwar.com that Rand Paul delays the NDAA over the amendment to block the Afghanistan drawdown.
Okay.
Keep an eye on that one.
So that's the National Defense Authorization Act, right?
Act, yes, correct.
And he has blasted Lynn Cheney, whom I mentioned earlier, who could wind up being the pivotal vote for the president. And he called her out specifically because, on the one hand, she has previously stated that presidents should not have their war-making abilities, their hands tied by Congress. But on the other hand, she's saying that they must have their war-ending abilities their hands tied by Congress, right? I mean, he said it better than I said it.
Yeah,
exactly. They should have complete freedom of action to wage war, but not complete freedom to stop war.
Exactly, and of course that betrays what we obviously know about Liz Cheney as well as Dick Cheney. And
is Liz Cheney or Lynn?
Or Lynn Cheney, whatever her name is. But this is where it is, folks. This has great implications for whether or not nationalist, America First Republicans can ever gain control of the House again from these Zionist neocons with all of these military-industrial complex connections. So this is a pivotal thing. We will see how it goes. Based upon the history of all of this, I'm not sanguine, but we'll keep an eye on the story. Middle East Eye has one out there. What America's biggest ever defense bill of $740 billion means for the Middle East. Doug Bandow for the American Conservative has one. Saudi Arabia, the ally from hell. Middle East Eye has one. The Saudi Death Squad, MBS, uses to silence dissent. If you've ever heard of the Tiger Squad, you'll be interested in it in terms of a special interview that I gave Press Television on the air in regard to this Tiger Squad and in regard to what it means. Who are these people? What is their connection with MBS and with the Saudi regime? It's quite obvious what the connection is, and it's very serious in terms of the criminality involved. Doug Bandow, the American Conservative, recognizes that. Middle East Eye recognizes that. When my own interview with Press Television comes up in regard to this, we'll make sure that that our listeners see it posted. Antiwar.com.
Hey, Mark, I've got a question. So over the past month since you've been on, so I haven't had an opportunity to ask you, you had the nuclear physicist in Tehran just kind of just murdered in open, in broad daylight.
Yes.
Was that the MEK working for Mossad or what? What was that?
I believe that that's exactly what was going on, and I'm not simply dreaming that up on my own. It's clear to me that Philip Giraldi of the Council for the National Interest believes that there was an MEK link in that. I would also urge people to check Masoud Kodabandi's Iran Interlink and also the Nejat Society, which you can get to off of my news page. My blog gets into that very question. This has all of the earmarks of being an MEK, MKO assassination. For those who are not familiar with these people, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, MEK, they were murdering Americans in Pahlavi, Iran, several generations ago.
And including an attempt on your own father.
That's right, which failed. They attempted to kill my own father. That is correct. And in this particular case, the MEK later switched sides after the mullahs won the revolution in Iran. They booted the red faction out. The MEK is a lot more red than it is black, folks, if you look at its history. And this so-called Marxist Islamic cult is now operating out of Tirana, Albania, just outside of Tirana, with a big-time headquarters and a big-time computer troll farm operation there that is fully linked both to the American CIA and to the Israeli Mossad and to Saudi intelligence. So if you're watching this whole thing, it is clear that in the last decade, folks, we have had approximately anywhere from 7 to 12 assassinations of high-profile Iranians in the scientific community. The most reliable figures would indicate that it's 12, a dozen, whose assassinations were clearly the direct work of the CIA, the Mossad, and using the MEK as the surrogate force to actually carry out the killings. And in this regard, this is something that becomes clearer when you study the history of the MEK and what even mainstream American publications have had an eye wink over in regard to MEK involvement with the Israelis, even Newsweek magazine basically admits that what I'm saying is true, but they simply try to downplay it and even to intimate that, in fact, this is protecting our wonderful ally Israel from all of these terrible people in Iran who, for some reason, want to be able to control their own country and, for whatever reason, don't happen to like the fact that all of these foreign-inspired and backed assassinations of their citizens are taking place in their own territory. This is definitely an MEK operation, I believe. And again, Phil Giraldi talks about this. Middle East Eye has mentioned it. This is something that comes up with Masoud Kodabandi's Iran Interlink, iran-interlink.org, and also the Nejat Society of Iran has also covered this with some degree of care and detail. So I think that is, in fact, Patrick, basically what we're looking at here. And it is very, very sordid business, which leads us into the next story as we hurry. U.S. sends B-52 bombers to the Middle East in a message to Iran. That is not good news from antiwar.com. Patrick Lawrence, the assassins and Iran from Consortium News. I'm going to make sure that a number of people at Press Television who have talked to me on some of these issues regarding Biden see this post, because Patrick Lawrence, I think, is correct. Any thought of Biden and his people riding into town on white horses to say the nuclear deal is strictly naive, says Patrick Lawrence, for reasons that will be abundantly clear if one looks at the article, which we do have posted. Again, go to nationalbeagle.com and you'll mm-hmm. see the link to this show via V. Contacta. And we'll be okay. back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
That's freedom music, relatively speaking, at least. North Korean opera. All right, Mark. So, what do you have left for us in the closing minutes?
Well, let me hurry quickly here. 7,000 people flee homes in North Syria amid fears about a Turkish military campaign. That comes to us from Xinhua News Agency of China. The Navy Times, how an online relationship with a Russian woman led to a Navy chief getting busted down to E4. Thank God it was a woman. The Jerusalem Post, should Joe Biden's Jewish picks raise concerns? Yes.
And that's from the Jerusalem Post.
That's from the Jerusalem Post, yes. Eric Stryker, National Justice, Germany. Political dissident Ursula Haverbeck sent back to prison may become oldest female inmate in the world. John Weir from Inconvenient History, why Hitler declared war in the United States. The Nejat Society, as we were discussing earlier. MEK's expertise in civil unrest and terror acts everywhere. John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, invasion of the body snatchers. Psychological warfare disguised as pandemic threat. Over South Front, over 30 Russian and Syrian airstrikes hit ISIS targets in the central region on December the 11th. Alistair Crook from the Strategic Culture Foundation. Biden's Iran deal faces Iran's red pill. And then finally, folks, Wayne Madsen has one. How to understand the huge Texas election lawsuit now before the Supreme Court. That is at LifeSite News. Madsen says that the Texas lawsuit claims that the odds of Joe Biden overcoming Donald Trump's lead and winning any of the states after the point indicated was one in a quadrillion. Well, take a look at that story.
Here's the thing. So I've actually done the numbers myself. And, you know, that's assuming that the distribution of Biden and Trump votes would be even over time, and we know that you know that the Democratic voters have been gaslit or brainwashed into thinking that they dropped dead at the polls, so they were voting by mail. And when you actually factor in the overwhelming number of Democrats who are voting by mail, those odds come way down. Instead of being like one in a quadrillion, it comes down to one in 6 million.
Yes. Yeah, well, there you go. That's still pretty long odds. But there you have it. I also have a book review quickie. For those of you who remember Anthony Summers' exposition on the Kennedy assassination in 1980 entitled Conspiracy, he's had a series of updates of that original book, all of them entitled Not in Your Lifetime. I got a hold of the latest one. I went through the whole manuscript last night, speed reading, because I had a familiarity with the 1980 version. There is a key name in the new manuscript, George Ioannidis, who turns up in Los Angeles in the Ambassador Hotel, by the way, folks, when RFK was murdered. The Daily Mail has a post on that from the past. But the fascinating thing here is this. Why is it that after all these years, Anthony Summers continues missing the Israeli connection to Dealey Plaza? Why does this newest reissued manuscript entitled Not in Your Lifetime mention Meyer Lansky and his organization's links to Giancana and the anti-Castro plots with no reference to his clear connections to Israel and Ben-Gurion? Why is the obvious Jack Ruby link to Lansky and Israeli intelligence via the Sonneborn Institute omitted from what is otherwise an excellent book? And that wraps us up.
We'll have to answer those next time you join us, Mark. Thank you so much. And be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.